SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
2020 has been marked by all kinds of financial hardship for a lot of families, especially here where we live. This coronavirus pandemic is bringing our city to a standstill in some ways, but you know what? We have hope. And you know what? We celebrate all of our freedoms. And we're talking about some of those challenges today with Gary Bykirk today at SWS Radio. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. He's served in our military. He's actually featured in a new book. It's called Blaze of Light. It's actually a true inspiring story of a Green Beret medic. How you doing, Gary?
Doing very well, thank you.
Share your story with us a little bit today. These are interesting times.
Yeah, we decided to dedicate this book to anyone who's fought through a battle or sheltered in a cave. And it seems kind of a strange dedication, but we wanted our story to be more than just a war story and about the Medal of Honor. We wanted it to be released on March 24th because it was going to be close to the celebration of the battle at Dak Xiang in Vietnam, which was April 1st, 1970. But little did we know that when it was going to be released, there would be a number of, the whole nation would be fighting through a battle and sheltering in a cave as we're going through this COVID-19 pandemic. And it used to amaze me when I would go out and speak about the Medal of Honor and share my story and share that after the war, I returned home, and because of my homecoming, some of those experiences, I sought shelter in a cave. I went to live in a cave in northern New Hampshire. And it was in that cave that I learned some very important things. I really began to heal a lot. But whenever I would speak about that, people no longer wanted to talk about the war. They didn't want to know about Medal of Honor. They wanted to know, what was it like to live in a cave? And we finally realized that because very few people can identify with fighting in the jungles of Vietnam, but they can identify with fighting through the battles that we all face in life. And even though they may not seek shelter in a granite-walled cave in the mountains of New Hampshire like I did, we all seek a cave. Cave we can go to, a place where we can go to stop hurting, to feel safe, to try to understand what's happening in our life. So that's why we decided to dedicate this book to all those who fought through a battle or sought shelter in a cave. It deals much more with than just the battle in Vietnam and the Medal of Honor. We wanted it to be a story of our journey so that people could identify with everything that's happened to us, including my wife, in our journey.
We're talking to Gary Bykirk today at SWS Radio, and he's a Medal of Honor recipient from the Battle of Dang Song in Vietnam back in 1970. And Gary's sharing his story today. You know, we've all watched those movies like Hacksaw Ridge and Saving Private Ryan and Platoon and Full Metal Jacket, and we think a lot of things about the military. But you know what? There's so many brave men and women that are serving overseas today. And a lot of times they don't feel appreciated for what they've done to fight for our liberties and fight for our freedoms. And this has been a really interesting season, Gary. As someone who's fought and you were shot three times, you worked as a medic. How do you see everything that's going on?
Whenever I have a chance to speak to the military, one of the things that I want to make sure that I get across is a message that someone knows what they're going through. One of the things that I had to fight through in the cave was I was in the cave when I learned that I was getting awarded the Medal of Honor. Now, I had gone to the cave to try to forget about the war, to try to heal, thinking that if I could just forget about it, I would get better. And now I'm in the cave, and I'm told I'm being awarded the Medal of Honor. I had to try to understand, what does that mean? Why me? I only did what I was trained to do. How am I going to make this a part of my life? But one of the things I learned in that cave was that that medal is not about me. I took a Bible into the cave with me, and one of the verses that meant a lot to me was Psalm 49, verse 20, that says, "Man that is in honor and understands not is like a beast that perishes." So I was in that cave, and I was thinking, okay, God, what does this Medal of Honor mean? I got to understand it. And I came to understand that the Medal of Honor is not about me. There's an honor that comes with that medal, but the honor is that it's greater than one person who did one thing on one day. The medal is a great honor that represents millions of men and women who do many, many different things, sacrifices, who go anywhere at any time to serve, to protect us. And also the Medal of Honor, it's an honor to wear that because it shares a message that there's a different way to live your life, a life about caring for others more than yourself, a life in believing that there's someone, something greater in this life, and caring about others, that's the message of the Medal of Honor. So I try to share that with the men and women, whoever I have a chance to speak with, who are serving now. Because when I came home, I didn't get that message. I got a message of baby killer. I got a message of drug-crazed Vietnam vet. Those were not the messages that an individual needs to deal with the trauma and the hurt and the pain that one brings back from fighting in a war. So I try to be able to let those individuals know that there's someone who's there, who loves them, who appreciates them, and who will be forever grateful to all the sacrifices that they and their families are making.
We're talking about serving others and shining our story today at SWIS Radio with Gary Bykirk, and he's a Medal of Honor recipient. Gary, I've heard a lot of time from men that have come back from the Vietnam War that they've felt scarred, and when they've come home, they've still felt scared, that was something that changed their perspective on the world. And Gary, I know it's one of those things that a lot of those that have served in the military don't like to talk about openly, but you feel like it's important, and you're featured in a book called Blaze of Light to share that story. And it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. When I came home, there were so many things that happened to me that I tried to forget. And like I said, my belief was that if I could just forget about it, I get better. And so I went into that cave to try to forget. What I learned in that cave, Scott, was that forgetting is not getting better. Getting better is finding someone who's willing to come into that cave with you, who's willing to listen, who's willing to just sit there and listen to what you have to say, who's willing to maybe cry with you to not understand, but I don't need them to understand. I just need to have somebody listen to me. And who I found to come into that cave with me was my wife. I found this girl in little town of Lancaster. People often ask me, they say, if you loved the cave so much, why'd you come out? Well, I found this young girl that I loved, asked her to marry me, and she said, only if I come out of the cave.
Yeah, there's that.
I came out of the cave because here was someone who would be with me unconditionally, who would love me, who would always be there. And not only that, but God came in that cave with me, and he was there to be able to help me to heal. So I've learned that forgetting is not getting better, and I try to share that message with other veterans or other people who have gone through hurt. You know, like I said, we try to find this cave that we feel is going to provide safety for us, that's going to keep us from hurting, and that's not getting better. Getting better is finding someone that you feel safe with, finding someone who will come in and be non-judgmental to you, who will accept you, who will love you no matter what. That's what I try to share with the men. And I understand that many times the way that you try to heal from that is to just shut down, because that's what I tried to do. But if you can't shut down yourself, we turn to drugs, we turn to alcohol. And all too often, you feel that you can't find any other way to heal, and so you take your life. That's what prompts me to want to go out and to share with the men and the women who serve, to share with anyone who suffered some hurt, that there's a way to heal, and that way to heal is by finding someone, letting someone into your life who's able to care and love you.
We're talking with Gary Bykirk today at SWIS Radio, and he's a U.S. Medal of Honor recipient. He was a medic in the Green Beret. Back in 1970, he was in Vietnam in the Battle of Dankirk and was actually shot three times, and it was tough. Gary, when you come home, you handled it one way. If you were to do it all again, what would you suggest?
I wouldn't recommend dealing with it the way I did. I tried to go back to school right away, and schools were not the most pleasant place to be back in the 70s. I got spit on. I got actually pushed around and everything. And I think what was motivating me and kept me going through that time was an experience that I had in the hospital, Scott. After I was shot three times, people always want to know, what's it like being shot? What's it like fighting at battle, being surrounded for 30 days with 10,000 of the enemy? And I would say it's a piece of cake. It was a piece of cake compared to the battle that I fought in that hospital bed. Because when I woke up in that hospital bed, I knew I was dying, because I was going unconscious. I remember the first time I went unconscious, and I'd been unconscious before and plenty of times, but this was different. I was lying in an ICU ward with men dying all around me, and all of a sudden, this blackness starts coming into me. and I feel myself slipping away. And I did everything that I could to keep from going unconscious. The Green Berets had taught me many skills, many strengths, and many things that I had used to be able to achieve success in the past. But in that hospital bed, I say I fought death hand to hand, and I lost. It was like every weapon that I brought to fight death with, to keep from going unconscious, death would say, "Is that the best you got?" And I would go unconscious. And I say that what happened to me at that time was my courage failed, but a faith was born. Because one of the times when I came to, you know, and there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, "There's no man that has power to retain the spirit, neither has he power in a day of death." And that was my day of death. But when I came to one time, there was a chaplain that was there, and he asked me if I wanted to pray. And I said, "I don't know how to pray. I don't even know who to pray to." I was 24 years old and had never made a prayer in my life. I didn't even know who to pray to. But he said to me something I'll always remember. He said, "That's okay, son. God knows how to listen." And he handed me a cross, and I made my first prayer. I said, "God, if you're real, I need you." And something happened right then. I didn't get automatically healed or miraculously healed. I didn't see any lights flashing or anything like that, but there was something that happened. All of a sudden, there was a peace that came over me, and with that peace, a realization that there was something greater than me, greater that was outside of myself, and something that was able to be stronger than the fear that I had, and it was able to comfort me. And I say that when my courage failed, my faith was born. And so when I came back, I was on a journey to find out who was this thing that was able to do that, who or what. I'll call it God, but I started a journey to try to find out about this God that was able to reach across and touch me in every experience that I was going through, who was there at my moment of death. Although I had a lot of bad experiences coming back, I always had this purpose of finding out who was this God that I know is real. And that's what motivated me to keep on keeping on. So what I would say to people coming back on their journeys is don't give up, because there is a God who is there. And whenever you feel fear, whenever you may fall, or whenever you fail, there's still a God who is there, always with you, to hear you.
The trauma that people are experiencing through the season we're walking through right now, it's been tough. And we're talking a little bit about how we deal with that in a healthy way, focus that back on our relationship with God. And we're actually talking with Gary Bykirk, and he was awarded the U.S. Medal of Honor, and he was Green Beret. And Gary, we recently passed a 50-year anniversary of the Battle of Vietnam, which obviously earned you that honor, but you were shot 3 times in the process. It was a dark season. It was a tough season for you. Looking back on the last 50 years, how has your perspective changed on our world as you look at when you were serving in our military then to what our brothers are doing right now in the military today in 2020?
My perspective certainly has changed. When I came back, I came back with a lot of anger. I came back with a lot of hurt, a lot of guilt. I'll share a story about why the guilt was there, Scott. When I was in Vietnam, one of the things that we did as a member of the A-Team is we tried to pick somebody that could be our bodyguard, our mentor, because we were living in the jungle. And we needed somebody to try to help us learn how to live in that jungle. Well, I picked this 15-year-old mountain yard boy. And in a mountain yard culture, individuals, when they reached the age of 12, they had to become a contributing, responsible member of that tribe, because they needed to know what to do in order so that tribe could exist and live in that jungle. So I picked this 15-year-old boy who had already been fighting, because part of their survival was you had to become a soldier. We had one 12-year-old that was an M60 machine gunner, and I picked this 15-year-old boy because he'd already had 3 years of experience. And one of the first things I said to him was, his name was Dale. I said, "Dale, you have to teach me how to survive in the jungle here, because I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of tigers." And he laughed and he said, "I don't want to teach you how to survive in the jungle." He said, "The jungle is where we live. We go into the jungle and we find ways to find things to add to our life. We live in the jungle." He said, "I want to teach you how to live in that jungle, not just survive." And that began to change my life, because for that year that I was with Dale, he began to teach me about what it meant to really live. We developed a friendship, a camaraderie, where we depended upon each other, where we trusted each other. I was 24. He was 15. And when our camp came under siege, I was shot, you know, within the first hour, and I couldn't walk anymore. But Dale came by, found me, picked me up, and he carried me. Everything that the citation from my Medal of Honor says that I did, I couldn't have done without Dale. He carried me, even though I got shot two more times. He would take me down to safety, and I'd say, no, we got to get back out into the battle. And so this 15-year-old boy would carry me back into the battle. He got shot in the leg and couldn't carry me anymore, but he wouldn't leave me. He still dragged me as we continued to help others, as we continued to fight. When we heard a rocket coming in, Dale rolled me over and laid on top of me. The rocket landed, exploded, threw us up in the air. We landed. I said, okay, Dale, come on. We have to get going. And that rocket blast killed Dale. He had laid himself on top of me to protect me. I felt guilty about that for years and years. The anger that I felt, the hurt, not only from being in the war, but the anger and the hurt that I felt from being the homecoming that I got, all those things were a tremendous explosion inside of me that I tried to deal with by just shutting down. It's like I closed this door. But what I found out, as I said earlier, that shutting down and forgetting is not the way to heal. As I was able to heal and I was able to work through that anger and that guilt because I found someone who loved me, who was able to cry with me, who was able to encourage me, give me a reason to hope. When I was able to work through that, underneath all that anger and that guilt, I was able to once again remember and experience the love that Dale had for me, the camaraderie, the, what it meant to be able to live in that village among those 2,300 people in the midst of a jungle and yet feel safe, to live in community. My perspective of life changed as I realized that in this life, it's a precious gift we're given, and we're meant to do more than just survive. God gives us this gift to live, not just survive. And one of the perspectives that I've changed by being able to work through the anger and the guilt and the hurt is that I'm able to find the good things, things that I can build a life on, things that I can use to grow, things that I can learn to live. But that anger and that guilt, if that's all we're going to concentrate on, that's not the way to build a life. So my perspective has changed with the help of God. He's allowed me to hurt, but then to find things to live, find things to build my life on.
We're actually talking with Gary Bykirk today at SOS Radio, and there's a book called Blaze of Light. It's an inspiring true story of Green Beret medic Gary Bykirk, Medal of Honor recipient. Hey, it's been an honor to have you on today. Thanks for sharing your story. I know it's a tough one to tell sometimes.
It is, but again, that's how my perspective has changed. Recently, I just finished a battle with stage 3 colon cancer. Again, there, you know, I found out that God was with me through that. And finally, my wife and I said, you know, maybe we should tell our story. And we did. We decided to. And it was kind of a scary thing to be able to put your life out there, you know, and let it be open for people's critique and review. But we're hoping that as people read our story, that they will find some words of faith, that they'll find some words of hope, and that they'll find some words of love that will help them as they go through their journey and fight the battles that life will bring to them, and realize that there is a God who is there.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.